O Holy Spirit of God, help us to become masters of ourselves, that we may be the servants of others. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. I have a small confession to make this morning. Our family has made three major moves in the last 11 years. That's not the confession. But we've moved from Atlanta to Maine, from Maine to West Virginia, and from West Virginia here to Temple Terrace in the past 11 years. The confession is that I am just now, this month, opening up a few boxes that have been sealed for 11 years. I bet none of you have ever done that. These boxes moved around with us then without being opened through several moves, partly because we had huge basements in the past in Maine and in West Virginia, which encouraged that kind of thing. But they were labeled, so I sort of knew, I had some sense of what was in them. And so I've been looking through them and finding papers and photographs and negatives, when we still had camera negatives, and lots of other papers and documents that I decided to keep when we made our first big move in 2001 from Atlanta. Have you ever had the experience of looking at a photograph or a letter or some other document from your past and being transported back into that time period? Perhaps you start remembering people that you knew then that you haven't thought about in years, or songs you listened to will just kind of come through your mind, or even sometimes feeling the feelings that you felt. I've had that happen to me over and over recently. I found mementos from the Olympics when we lived in Atlanta, and the Olympics was held in Atlanta in 1996. That was very exciting, and exciting to find those now with the Olympics going on now. I found lots and lots of concert programs, some from concerts that I don't even remember going to. Probably most wonderfully of all, I found some letters from family and friends, my grandmother who's deceased, that I will keep. I'll keep those forever. And other letters that I enjoyed reading, but now I've put into the recycle pile. Now, I even found a box, and this didn't move with us through all these moves, but my mother found this at her house and shipped it to me, that contains 2 years of every issue of the King Cobra, which was the newsletter of my junior high school in Southern California. And I actually found somebody who wants them, so I feel really good about that. I'm going to mail them off to her. So the experience of sorting through all these different pieces of my past from all these different decades, really, has been fun and interesting and revealing, and I'm not even done yet. But it's also reminded me of something that I find quite profound, that Curtis Almquist, who is a brother of the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Massachusetts, shared with a group of us at a retreat in Maine. And Brother Almquist said this: "Everything that you have experienced in your life, all of it, the joys and the sorrows, the triumphs and defeats, loyalty, betrayal, whatever has happened in your life has made you what you are today, made you who you are today. And all of that, up to this day, has prepared you for the ministry that God calls you to today. In some sense, then, every single piece of our lives is important. And so when I read John's story of the feeding of the 5,000, my attention turned to this part. After 5,000 people had eaten and were satisfied, Jesus told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost. Now, John's gospel, of all the gospels, is the most symbolic, the most rich with metaphor and symbolism. So I played with that image of the fragments that were left over this week. And I found something by Jan Richardson, who is a United Methodist clergy person who does art. And some of her art is putting fragments together. She does collages and things like that. And she wrote a little bit about this gospel, and I wanted to share what she said with you. She says, "It's part of the miracle how Jesus, with such intention, cares for the fragments after the feast. He sees the abundance that persists, the feast that remains within the fragments." We might think the marvel of this story is that there is enough for everyone. And yet for Jesus, enough does not seem to be enough. There is more. A meal that depends on paying attention to what has been left behind, on turning toward what has been tossed aside. Christ gathers them up, a sign of the wholeness he can see, a foretaste of the banquet to come. Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost. Now, the feeding of the 5,000 is symbolic not only of our Eucharist, but also the final feast in the kingdom of God beyond all time. But what I find most important, perhaps, is that in God's economy, nothing is lost. And Christ showed his disciples, by gathering up those fragments, that in this new community, even the leftovers, the fragments, what is broken and in pieces, all of that is important. Christ showed his disciples that in this new community of faith, no one is abandoned, no one is lost or left behind. And Jesus shows us that in God's kingdom, there is abundance beyond measure. What then are we to do? Can we live with a spirit of abundance, which is so in tune with God and God's kingdom, and so out of step with the culture around us, a culture, a mood of scarcity? Can we live with this spirit of abundance that comes to us from God? Can we take all our experiences, everything that has made us what we are, and even if we can't give thanks for all of that, maybe we can give thanks for the good that God has made out of all of that, all that has happened to us? And then can we live our lives fully to the glory of God? I came upon one of my favorite quotes from Annie Dillard when I was thinking about this as well. And in this quote, she's talking about writing and the creative process, but it also really applies to life, to living, and to the love of God. This is what she says. "One of the few things I know about writing is this. Spend it all. Shoot it, play it, lose it all right away every time. Do not hoard what seems good for a later place in the book or for another book. Give it all, give it now. Some more will arise for later, something better. These things fill from behind, from beneath, like well water. Similarly, the impulse to keep to yourself what you have learned is not only shameful, it is destructive. Anything you do not give freely and abundantly will be lost to you. You open your safe and find ashes." In God's economy, nothing is lost. In God's kingdom, there is abundance beyond measure. May God give us the courage and the strength to live with a spirit of abundance. Amen.